Did you know that Christian fellowship depends on walking in love? But does that mean we ought to love everything? We're going to discuss that on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in today. We have a really great discussion lined up for you. We're currently in a series going through 1 John, a little book with big implications. Sean and Bob are going to walk us through 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And I think you're going to really be enriched by what we learned today. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are discussing 1 John. We're in chapter 2. And if you want to be following our discussions that we've had over the last few episodes, please go to faithalone.org/radio, and you can listen to the podcasts there, or you can look us up in iTunes, Grace in Focus in iTunes. And we've also added Stitcher. You can hear us on Stitcher as well. Well, we're in this amazing book that tells us about how to live the Christian life. And one of the absolute keys of living in the Christian life that we just saw in the previous verses is that we need to be loving our brothers.
Right.
And if we're not loving our brothers, what does that say about us?
Well, then we're not walking in the light and we're not walking in God's love.
Right, because God loves us, and the proof that his love is perfected in us is if we are loving the brethren.
Right.
So love is a key to this deeper fellowship in the Christian life. However, does that mean we should just be loving everything indiscriminately?
No, as we were going to see in the passage before us in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, we're definitely not to love what John calls the world.
All right, well, let's read that verse together. So that's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is just so fascinating, Bob, because there's a flip side to this love. Love, again, is central to the Christian life. But now we're looking at the other side.
Right. We're to love God. We're to love his people. We're to love his word. But we're not to love the world system, which is opposed to God.
Now, a lot of people will be thinking about John 3:16, where it says,
right,
God so loved the world. And now we're told that we shouldn't love the world. But he's using world in a different sense here, and he defines it for us, doesn't he?
Right. The word for world is the word cosmos, and that's it. Carl Sagan has brought this over, wrote a book by that title, and cosmos refers to either the world or, in some uses, people use it for the universe. In Scripture, for example, John 3:16, it's used to refer to all the people in the world. God so loved the world. This is the inhabitation of people. Sometimes it just refers to the planet. But oftentimes, as here, cosmos refers to that which is in opposition to God and to Jesus. So Jesus says, the world hates me, and because the world hates me, it's going to hate you. That's what he's telling the disciples in the upper room. And here we find out that we're not to love the world or the things which are in the world.
Right, and he gives us some examples of what he means in verse 16, right? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We're not supposed to love these lusts, right? We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to depart from those lusts.
Right. The word for lust is basically the word for desire. Not all desires are sinful, but any desire that's contrary to the will of God is a sinful desire. And he brings out three things here. The lust of the flesh implies that we're thinking in terms of fleshly desires. That would be, we would be thinking in terms of illicit sexual desires, premarital sex, extramarital sex, things like that. It also could apply to other things like drunkenness or gluttony or other things, but these are sinful desires of the flesh. What's the second one there, Sean?
The lust of the eyes.
The lust of the eyes would be desires of things we see which are not appropriate for us.
Well, and I think a great example of that, and I wonder if John is thinking about it, is Eve in the garden when God says to her, don't eat from that tree. And then we read in the text in Genesis chapter 3, she sees the fruit and
right.
she sees that it looks tasty and it's good for making wise. And what she sees, that desire that's created by what she sees, then overrides God's command.
I think that's a great example of lust of the eyes. You have something similar with David and Bathsheba, right? He's he's on the top of the palace, and he looks out and sees Bathsheba bathing there, and he sees her and wants her. Well, this is not only immorality, not only adultery, but it's also covetousness. He wants his neighbor's wife, and he just takes her. That would have been an example of both the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And as some commentators have pointed out, these two are pretty close together.
One of the things that this makes me think about is Jesus' parable of the four soils. Well, there's actually three different types of soils, and then there's kind of like the row between the soils. There's a sower who's going and he's sowing seed, and the seed is basically the word of God. And the first group, the seed just kind of goes off to the wayside, and the birds come and snatch it away, and we're told that's Satan snatching the word away so people won't believe and be saved. But then you have three soils. They each spring up, right? The seed germinates, telling us that there is a life here. They believe it. However, one of the things that can stop you from growing up and bearing fruit to maturity is the cares of the world, right? It can distract you and you can become lost out of fellowship with God.
Right. In Luke 8:14, it says concerning the seed which is thrown among the weeds, it says, cares, riches, and the pleasures of life chokes out its effectiveness. Cares would be the normal cares we have. Riches would be any prosperity we achieve, and the pleasures of life, I think, would be the positive pleasures of life. But the point would be, if we are somehow coveting the things of the world, don't love the world or the things of the world, we've got the wrong perspective. Our aim in life shouldn't be to be the wealthiest person we can be, or have as many houses as we can have, or make sure that, you know, we have every pleasant experience as possible. Our aim in life should be to please God.
That's right. And it can be so hard to keep focus on that aim. There's just so many other things that can distract us, so many other things that can seem so important because they are right in front of us. You know, it's like I meet a lot of people who are cohabitating with someone who is not their spouse. And they do that because they're lonely. And even though they know that it's wrong, they have this person in front of them that's providing immediate comfort, and that it's so hard to forego that for the promise of something better that you might not see until like after you die, right?
Right.
And so it's hard to kind of prioritize the promises of God over immediate gratification, basically.
Yeah, I agree. And ultimately what John is talking about here is he's warning them that they do need to avoid giving in to these desires, these sinful desires, or the third thing, which is called the
pride
boastful
of life.
Pride of life,
yeah.
Or the pride of life. And basically, pride is not wrong. If you have a small baby and you have a sense of joy and pride over having a baby, that's not sinful.
Or a very large baby.
A very large baby. You're proud because we had the largest baby ever born in Dallas. You know. But on the other hand, what John's thinking of is more like hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is arrogant and boastful and proud in the sense of arrogance, that is obviously wrong. We need to know that everything we have is from God, and we need to be thankful for everything we have, and we know it's from His hand. And so that takes away this pride of life or this boastful pride of life.
And in verse 17, I think John challenges us to take a wider view of the world and its pleasures. He mentioned earlier in the chapter that you're either in light or in darkness, and the darkness is passing away. And in verse 17, he says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It's this idea that, listen, guys, these pleasures are momentary and they are not worth it in light of eternity.
That's exactly what he's saying. And ultimately, John's perspective is on the life to come. And so what he's saying is that this world system, the darkness, the world itself, it's in the process of passing away. Jesus is coming again very soon. And so we're not to live for that which is passing away. We're to live for that which is eternal. And what's interesting is the end of verse 17 is personal. It says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Notice the first part is talking about the world. The world is passing away.
Mm-hmm.
But now he doesn't say the kingdom of God is coming. He says, he who does the will of God abides forever. And I think what that is suggesting is that the believer, like the readers who are currently overcoming the world, those people are pleasing God, and that part of what they're doing has eternal value, and that abides forever. That will never be taken from them. So that the treasure they lay up in heaven, Matthew 6:19-21, it'll be there. Any rewards they lay up, they'll be saved for them. And so as we become the kind of people who we will be in the life to come, well, then we become people of eternal value because we're not living for temporary values. We're living for eternal values. And that's what John wants from us, and that's what God wants from us.
Well, this is just absolutely fascinating. If you're interested in learning more, we have a great book, a great commentary on the Epistles of John. It's written by Zane Hodges, and it's called The Epistles of John, Walking in the Light of God's Love. And it's available at our website, faithalone.org/store. And just look up The Epistles of John, and you'll find it there. We'll tune in next time as we continue this discussion of The Epistles of John.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for helping us understand what it means to walk in love. Maybe this is a new concept for you, or possibly a concept you want to go deeper on. If that's the case, I'd like to direct you toward our website. It's faithalone.org. At faithalone.org, we have all kinds of free resources waiting for you today. But what I want to tell you about today is our bookstore. Since we're going through this series on 1 John, you may want to pick up a copy of our Grace New Testament commentary. I personally use this commentary all the time. You can get it in our bookstore. It is a life changer. It covers every verse of the New Testament, including 1 John. And so if you want to go deeper on 1 John or any New Testament book, I'd highly encourage you to get a copy of our commentary. In addition to this, we have a free print magazine, free videos, free podcasts, free blog posts. You can even find out about upcoming live events that we're doing around the nation. You might even feel led to give a tax-deductible gift to our ministry to help us continue what we're already doing. We're able to reach people because of generous donations from listeners just like you. Speaking of listeners like you, we'd love to hear from you. I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing your comments or questions. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about a really interesting subject, one that kind of sends shivers down my spine. We're going to talk about the Antichrist. So tune in tomorrow to hear that fascinating discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.